Wine That podcast, Spill the Tea. I'm Darby.
And I'm Alyssa.
This is our Christmas episode where we won't talk about Christmas. But it's coming out on that day, so we're going to call it that anyways.
Yeah.
I was told by a listener they really like the What Are We Drinking? So I am drinking a French Kirkland Red. That is all I know. I can't read the label. How about yourself?
I'm being not creative at all. And I'm drinking some Aldi White Zin.
Love that.
Again.
Oh, yeah, that is what you've been drinking.
It's still my favorite.
It's really good. All right.
We have a lot of shit to talk about.
And you have a lot. And I get to listen and react. And I'm very excited about it.
Yeah.
So what are we talking about today?
So, I'm hoping that there's some people out there that maybe have a little bit of input on this because it's huge right now. We are talking about the Blake Lively and Justin Baldoni lawsuit.
I'm so ready for this. I know nothing. I know what happened, and that is it. I have avoided everything because you told me that you were going to be bringing this to the episode today.
Yeah, and I have screenshots from court documents.
I'm so excited.
It's going to be good.
Okay, let's dive right in.
All right. What have you heard?
I heard that she is suing him over a sexual harassment claim, and that is literally all I have heard. And I know, obviously, from the movie, It Ends With Us.
Yes, it is sexual harassment along with him ruining her image a little bit.
Not surprised in the slightest.
Yes. So it gets really crazy. There's like an 80-page document.
Oh my god.
She brought receipts.
Hell yeah.
She has everything documented.
I'm so ready for this.
She has screenshots of texts.
Hell yeah.
She has all sorts of shit.
And I would like to preface this with, even if you do not like Blake Lively, no woman deserves this, so she has every right to sue this fucker.
And I really like both of them.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I've been a Blake fan since Gossip Girl in my teenage years. And he, I thought,
Gossip Girl, Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants.
Never seen that.
Like, love Blake. And she's on my my list.
Which list?
The list.
Same though.
Yeah.
Same though.
Justin Baldoni. Love him.
He did really good in that movie.
Yeah. He was great in the movie.
He did do great in the movie.
Yeah. He portrayed all of it very well. Mm-hmm. Also loved him in Jane the Virgin.
That's him?
Yeah.
Oh, no wonder he looked familiar. I've not fully seen Jane the Virgin, but I have seen a few episodes of it, so that makes a lot more sense now.
Yeah, girl.
Okay.
All right. So, starting with Colleen Hoover wrote the book. Justin Baldoni bought the rights because he wanted to direct the movie.
Oh, okay.
Yes. So he at first was not supposed to star in it. He was supposed to direct.
Okay.
Colleen Hoover loved him as an actor. They agreed he was going to be the star, like, the main male role.
Mm-hmm.
He was going to play Ryle. After a while, Blake signed on to play Lily.
Yep.
They decided they were going to co-direct a little bit.
And didn't she do a little bit of the producing on it? Or was it just directing?
Maybe she was the co-producer.
Okay, I couldn't remember.
Besides the point, like, they're both very deep in this movie. Normally Blake and Ryan, they work on their films together. They do all, like, they're involved in everything.
Yeah.
With each other. So of course he was there and whatever. He ended up having to be on set every day.
Oh,
because
wow.
She was so uncomfortable. Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah. So after she signed on with the film,
mm-hmm.
she had read the script, agreed to what was in the script, sex scenes, like kissing, all that stuff.
Right.
They had an intimacy director.
Yep.
Like they do on all, like, movies like this. So she was fine with it. After she signed on, he allegedly started trying to add sex scenes that were not in the book. Obviously she said, no, like, this isn't what I agreed to, we're not doing it.
Right.
One of these sex scenes was supposed to show her fully orgasming.
Weird.
And then another one was supposed to be on their wedding night of both of them orgasming.
Not relevant to the plot at all.
And not in the book.
Right. Like, not even a little.
So, like, a little sketchy.
Yeah.
That's what it started as, and she's like, no, we're not doing that.
Right. Understandably
so. Super relevant.
Yeah.
All right. Allegedly, Baldoni and Jamie Heath, he was the producer, they would openly discuss their past porn addiction with Lively and other cast members, making them feel super uncomfortable.
Yeah.
To the point where she like pulled him aside and was like, this isn't okay. Like,
mm-hmm.
I don't appreciate it. I've never watched it. Like, this, like, we can't do this. I don't want any of this happening
yeah.
anymore. Like, just stop.
Right.
And the next day, or like a couple days later, she was like, they were apparently brought it up again. And he flat out said, oh, sorry, we're not supposed to talk about this in front of Blake because she's never seen it. And, yeah. And so she pulled him aside again and was like, I don't appreciate, like, you talking about my intimate life.
Yeah.
Like, you have no right.
No.
It goes on. Sorry, guys, this is going to be a long one.
Buckle up.
It goes on. He allegedly, this is all allegedly.
Right.
But he allegedly improvised kissing scenes without the intimacy director around. That he wanted to refilm several times. Quote. Past the point of what you would on a typical set.
That's so weird.
Yeah. Just not worth it, you know? Sorry, guys. I have a bunch of screenshots, too.
She did the research on this.
It did. It went hard in the paint. Mr. Baldoni and Heath failed to implement the COVID protocols when there was a COVID outbreak on the set. And Blake was told by another producer that because Wayfarer, which is like the production company, didn't have insurance coverage for COVID, and they deliberately withheld that from Blake, that she had been exposed to COVID. Keep in mind, Blake had just had their baby.
Yeah.
She was nursing on set.
Oh.
Her and her baby both got COVID.
I would throw hands immediately.
Yeah. So on top of this, so she was, like I said, she was nursing. She wasn't given proper lactation breaks. Sometimes they stretch to 6 hours without a break. You're supposed to go like 3, maybe 4.
Right.
When they finally had a break, she would have to run to her trailer to breastfeed. And she ended up getting mastitis because they had such long breaks. Yeah. And then on top of that, along with her nursing, where is that one? She wasn't given, she had made it clear that since she was nursing, she needed proper notice when Baldoni or Keith were going to go into her trailer.
Yeah.
Because she wanted to cover herself up.
Yeah.
She's not openly nursing. Which.
Yeah, that's her choice.
Yep. They would not give her proper notice. They would just walk into her trailer and she would be topless. And would be like rushing to cover up.
Yeah.
There was another scene. So you know the scene where it's like a montage of them dating and music is playing over it?
Yep. Yes.
So there's no sound on them. But during that scene, with no sound present, obviously, because there was music over it, he was allegedly not talking as his character Ryle, but as himself. And he would kiss her from, like, her ear to her neck. And he would be like, it smells so good. And so she later brought her concerns to him and said, dude, like, I'm not even attracted to you. Like, stop.
Right.
And then another one was, he would allegedly make comments to other women on set, complimenting their outfits, insinuating that they were attractive, and then he would say, it's okay, my wife's on set today.
What? Oh my god.
So just because he felt like his wife was on set, he felt it was okay to talk and say whatever he wanted.
Oh, that makes me so mad. That makes me so mad.
On another day, Miss Lively wore a low-cut dress to facilitate breastfeeding, but had it covered up with a coat. Mm-hmm. When the jacket briefly popped open at one point to reveal the dress, Mr. Baldoni commented about how much he liked her outfit, which made her flustered. Later that day, Mr. Baldoni pressured her, who was in her pre-approved wardrobe, to remove her coat in front of the crew and multiple background actors in a packed bar. He said he wanted to see her onesie under the coat because it was zipped low to reveal her lace bra.
Ew.
Consistent with past practice, he said, I think you look sexy, in a tone that made her feel ogled and exposed. With other female cast present, she said, that's not what I'm going for. He bristled in reply, I'm sorry, hot. Deeply uncomfortable, she said, not that either. Mr. Baldoni responded sarcastically, oh, I guess I missed the HR meeting. And walked away.
Oh, it's taking me a lot not to just, like, scream into the mic right now.
Another woman on the production spoke to Miss Lively afterward to offer empathy and to share her own similar experiences with Mr. Baldoni, commenting about her in sexual terms. Like, it's one thing to, like, hit on somebody and be like, yeah, you look hot. Like,
right. But know who you're talking to. Know the boundaries that are there, and if someone says something, you stop.
She's your coworker.
That is ding 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 ding. It's not like your best friend. It is not like you coming up to me and going, you look hot as fuck.
Yeah.
It is if one of my coworkers came up to me and said that, and I would immediately be filing an HR complaint.
Blake also alleges that Justin made comments about her age. One day, he was crying in her dressing room because social media commenters were saying she looked too old for the role.
Why are you crying about that, sir? Like, what? What?
What? I don't know, but, like, because she was too old.
She's not. Even if she was, like, do we remember the movie Grease with, like, 40-year-olds playing high schoolers? Like, no one cares. And you shouldn't be crying to her about that.
Yeah. So this is part of the document that I'm going to read, which is some of it is, but that was just...
Yeah.
Anyways, while on the one hand, Mr. Baldoni was objectifying Miss Lively as a sex object, on the other hand, he went out of his way to message criticisms of her age and weight, neither of which she could change during filming. On the second day of filming, for example, Baldoni made the rest of the cast and crew wait for hours while he cried in Miss Lively's dressing room, claiming social media commenters were saying that Lively looked old and unattractive based on paparazzi photos from the set. She tried to reassure him that she should look authentic in the scenes depicted in the photos, which were just after her character had been abused by her fictional husband, rather than hot Mr. Baldoni. However, he appeared focused on Miss Lively's sexual appeal above all else. His lengthy outburst caused a delay in shooting, forcing an emotional scene to be shot haphazardly. You didn't know he criticized her weight?
No, I did not. And that makes me so unreasonably mad.
So, he did and he didn't.
Okay.
He has a bad back.
Okay.
And apparently there was supposed to be a scene where he, like, lifted her up and, like, spun her around.
Okay.
So he contacted her trainer and was like, hey, like, rough estimate, how much does she weigh so I can know how to train for this?
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, I see it from her point of view because she just had a kid.
Yep.
Super unfair to ask.
Yeah.
Just cut that scene. Make it a little bit different.
Right. Like,
if you're concerned about it, you have a bad back.
Yeah.
Change it a little bit.
Yeah. If that is any concern, like, what's her weight going to matter? If you have a bad back and you do that lift wrong, it does not matter her weight. You'll hurt yourself.
I'm going to highlight this part because I want to come back to it.
Okay.
So, one of the biggest things when they were doing press conferences, people wanted to cancel Blake.
Yes. Yes, this was such a discussion that we had when this movie came out.
Yeah. So, apparently, it was in their contract that they were supposed to be talking about Pope and how, yes, she was stuck in a shitty situation that she really shouldn't have been stuck in.
Yep.
But she figured a way out.
Right.
Hopeful. His team expected a blow up after the premiere and came up with a contingency plan if she spoke out about her treatment.
Seriously? Oh my God.
He was advised to not talk about Pope. He was advised to talk about the dark side of domestic violence and how he felt so bad, and he did all this research and did all this stuff to make him a better actor for this role. He was also advised to take the high road. His team would take ownership of the narrative. The strategy here was to point to her being the problem.
Which happened.
Quote, "The speculation can be turned to another one of the many people she's had problems working with. For example, Leighton Meester from Gossip Girl. Anna Kendrick.
I don't remember that name.
And Ben Affleck. Etc.
Yep.
As part of our team can explore planting stories about the weaponization of feminism and how people in lively circles, like Taylor Swift, have been accused of using tactics to bully into getting what they want.
I'm so mad.
Now let me go back to this that I highlighted.
Yep.
Justin, excuse me, hired Johnny Depp's PR team. Guess who's on that team?
Who?
Scooter Braun.
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry at all. Are you fucking kidding me?
Which is why Taylor Swift's name was built, brought in.
Okay.
All right. So back to him changing what they were actually supposed to talk about in press conferences.
Yep.
From the lawsuit. In the days leading up to the film's release, Mr. Baldoni abruptly pivoted away from the film's marketing plan and the types of publicity activities in which he had previously participated. What the public did not know was that Baldoni and his team did so in an effort to explain why many of the film's cast and crews had unfollowed Mr. Baldoni on social media and were not appearing with him in public. To that end, he and his team used domestic violence survivor content to protect his public image, as described in further detail. So basically, he was using that to make himself look better.
Right, yeah.
There's a lot.
When you're, like, done, I need to go on, like, a 2-minute rant to just let this out of my system. I'm so mad right now.
So some of these texts from the crisis management team expresses how well things are going and how it's, quote, actually sad because it shows you how people really want to hate on women.
Yep. Yeah. Yes. 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 Yes.
another text. He wants us to bury her. Part of that text was, he doesn't want us to put it in writing, but he wants us to bury her. You put it in writing, you fucking idiot.
Yeah, you dumbass. Oh my god. Oh my god.
The suit claims that there was an effort by Justin's campaign to amplify anti-Blake posts.
Not surprised.
They claim they were effective in damaging her reputation.
Yeah. They were.
No shit.
They so were.
So bad.
Oh my god.
So, you remember? On the day. Okay, this is also from the lawsuit itself.
Okay.
Be ready.
Oh, no! I was not expecting, I knew this would upset me, but I was not expecting to get this mad, and I'm mad.
On the day of shooting the scene in which Miss Lively's character gives birth, I have a tickle on my phone, hold on. I'm so sorry.
You're good, you're good.
Mr. Baldoni and Mr. Heath suddenly pressured Miss Lively to simulate full nudity. Despite no mention of nudity for this scene in her script, her contract, or in previous creative discussions.
What the fuck?
Mr. Baldoni insists to Miss Lively that women give birth naked, and that his wife had ripped her clothes off during labor. He claimed it was not normal for women to remain in their hospital gowns while giving birth. Miss Lively disagreed, but felt forced into a compromise that she would be naked from below the chest down.
I like how he's arguing with a woman that's given birth 3 times. I think she's done this.
Sir, I gave birth twice with my gown on.
There's no way I'm doing that naked if I ever do it.
Like,
no.
I sat in a bath.
Yeah.
And got out and put my gown back on.
Understandably so.
Like, how...
What? It bugs me when a man is trying to tell a woman who's done this kind of thing, oh, this is normal. No, it's not. And even if it is, that's just weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my god, we're still going.
Where did it go?
Like, she has screenshots of the lawsuit. Like, I'm looking at her computer. She has done the absolute research of this entire lawsuit.
Also from the birth scene. Also from the lawsuit. When the birth scene was filmed, the set was chaotic, crowded, and utterly lacking in standard industry protections for filming nude scenes, such as choreographing the scene with an intimacy coordinator, having a signed nudity rider, or simply turning off the monitor so the scene was not broadcast to all crew on set and their personal phones and iPads. Mr. Heath and Mr. Baldoni also failed to close the set, allowing non-essential crew to pass through, while Lively was mostly nude with her legs spread wide open in stirrups and only a small piece of fabric covering her area.
Sorry, that's my phone.
Among the non-essential persons present that day was Wayfarer, so the production company,
yep.
Co-chairman Mr. Sarowitz, who flew in for one of his few set visits. Miss Lively was not provided with anything to cover herself with between takes until after she had made multiple requests. Miss Lively became even more alarmed when Mr. Baldoni introduced his best friend to play the role of the OB. When ordinarily a small role of this nature would be filmed by a local actor, Miss Lively felt the selection of Mr. Baldoni's friend for the intimate role, in which the actor's face and hands were in close proximity to her nearly nude area for a birth scene, was invasive and humiliating.
Yeah, that's creepy as hell.
That's so fucked up.
I hate this so much. I'm so mad right now.
This is my last screenshot.
Okay. Oh boy.
No, I still have that tickle in my throat.
Okay, I also have one in my throat, so it's fair.
During a car ride with Miss Lively, her assistant, and her driver, Mr. Baldoni claimed to Miss Lively that he had been sexually abused by a former girlfriend, which he has since shared publicly.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
At the end of this story, Mr. Baldoni shared that had caused him to re-examine his past. He then said, "Did I always ask for consent? No. Did I always listen when they said no? Mr. Baldoni claimed this was an example of how we all have things from which we can learn and grow. Miss Lively was unsettled by his suggestion that he had engaged in sexual conduct without consent. When Miss Lively exited the car, her driver immediately remarked that he did not want Miss Lively to be alone with Mr. Baldoni going forward.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh. Is that?
One more thing.
Okay.
January of 2023.
Okay.
They're still filming.
Yep.
Blake Lively holds a meeting with lawyers present. And 21 concerns. In writing.
Oh my God.
This meeting includes lawyers, the production team, and Justin Baldoni. They agreed, this isn't going to happen anymore. We will be better.
Awesome. Good for her.
Smartest thing she could have done.
Oh yeah.
All in writing. Lawyers were there.
Snaps.
Yep. It didn't get better.
Oh, no!
It got worse.
Oh, my God.
Just take a moment.
Let's all take some deep breaths here. In, out. Because I think we're all gonna need a few breaths after that. Is that your notes?
That's my notes.
Okay, good. Because I have some thoughts. I don't even know where to begin with all of that. I knew, like.
When if I need to read something over,
okay,
to refresh it,
okay,
let me know.
Okay, I will. So when It Ends With Us came out, your sister-in-law and her friend were very big into this book, mm-hmm. Very big fans. So she brought the book down from Minnesota, and me, you, and Allie all read it, and we went and saw it. And it's such a good book. It is a good movie. I like the book more than the movie, and I think that's pretty normal.
I had to rewatch the movie.
Yeah, you said that you did that.
Appreciate it a little bit more.
Yeah.
my biggest thing that I love that Justin did with the movie was blocked out the scenes of the abuse from her perspective until
the end.
She came to and was like, holy shit, this is really happening. And then they replay it in her head.
Yep.
And she was like, oh my God, I've been lying to myself.
Yep. Yeah.
Love that.
Because that's so true. That's so true in real life when that is happening to you and you're making the excuses and it's not that bad. This didn't really happen this way. I'm overthinking it. I'm overdramatic. I'm all these things. And then one day it just snaps in your brain and you have a crash out and you're like, no, I'm not insane. I'm not crazy. This is happening to me. This isn't right. I need to leave. And if you have that, listen to it, because you're not wrong and you need to get out of there. But just in this, when you were talking and I was thinking about this, like the added scenes or wanting something more graphic, more nudity, this book was toned down a little bit from the book to the movie because it's rated PG-14, I think. Yes. Which is smart because this is a message that young girls need to know.
Yes.
I experienced my first abusive relationship at 17. And it was awful. It is important for girls to watch that and understand how wrong that is. So the fact that you want to make it more graphic, there is absolutely no excuse for that because of like the rating that it was supposed to be.
Yeah, it was set so teenagers, young teenagers, could go watch it and understand like this type of relationship is fucked up and you're not supposed to be in it.
Yeah.
Because you can do better.
Yeah. Second point, when people really started coming down on Blake Lively for this, like, it did not sit right with me.
No. It never did. I was never against her. I didn't like from the perspective of, yes, I've lived this. Like, you saying, put on your florals, like, get your girls. Like, I wasn't a fan of it.
Yeah.
But then as she got more into it and she was like talking about how she loved that she figured out how to play Lily, the strongest and most vulnerable person.
Yeah.
All at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah. And with that too, like, there was so much discourse about this whole Justin's really promoting the domestic violence thing and Blake's not saying much. And me and you and Allie were talking about it and we kind of hit like, I don't think they're supposed to be bringing out the domestic violence for one, that's not the focal point of this. Mm-hmm. The focal point is strong women. And two, like the reason they were like, put on your florals and go with your girls is invite that woman in your life who is dealing with this at home and needs a wake-up call, needs to understand that this is not okay. Bring that girlfriend and frame it as a girl's night. So maybe her husband, her boyfriend, her fiance, her girlfriend, her, like, any person that's abusive in her life, she can start to put that piece together. Yes. But that's not okay. Like, that bugged me from the start.
Yeah.
Because my mind instantly went to people as, like, they should see this movie.
Mm-hmm. No matter how they get people there.
Right. And I will
say, people need to see it.
And I will say, too, if you're a person that watched that movie and said, that's not real domestic abuse. Domestic abuse is the violence and the threats and, the, like, all, like, that's not that bad. You're part of the problem. I understand.
You're part of the problem, and you're probably in that relationship.
And listen, yeah, there's worse things out there. Me and you have experienced worse than what happened in that movie.
Yes.
That doesn't make that okay.
No.
And
the point of it was to say, it it's not that bad.
Yes.
But it's still abuse.
Yes.
And you should still not be living your life like this.
Correct. Because, like, I know people in my life that they left the ultra abusive, ultra, like, that really obvious one.
Mm-hmm.
And they're in this relationship now. And they're like, but it's not as bad. I know several people that have been in that place, and it makes me so mad because that is not what you deserve. You deserve so much better.
It doesn't matter if it's that bad.
Right.
It's still abuse.
Yes.
And you still need, like, no matter what, you need to find a way out.
Yes. And the reason that I brought that up specifically right now is I can call it, and I have seen it in a few of the TikToks that I have watched about this, because I paused it and I went to the comments. I was like, what is the discourse? And in the discourse about this lawsuit, it's not that bad. Did you watch the movie? Did you not grasp? It's not that bad. It could have been worse. That's not good. That is not acceptable. That is not okay.
There are still so many people that are saying, like, oh, this is a publicity stunt. Like, she's over-exaggerating. Girl, go read the 80-page lawsuit and read the fucking receipts.
Yeah. And if your first thought is, it's not that bad, reevaluate.
Reevaluate yourself.
Reevaluate yourself and what you're accepting in your life if you don't think that's that bad. And as someone who has experienced discrimination and harassment in her workplaces, like, I could sit on this podcast and I could tell you stories. I could list them off, and maybe we will sometime. I'm not going to get into that today. But that's so real. That is
so real.
So real. And there are so many places that people work and little things like this happen and they go, it's not that bad. It is that bad, and you should not accept that.
Also, you want to go on something here? Domestic violence movie.
Yep.
A male bought the rights to it. A male is the director with a male producing team trying to tell a woman producing this movie about how a woman perceives domestic violence.
Yep.
And deals with domestic violence.
Yes.
Bro.
Bro. Bro.
Yes, men go through domestic violence. 100%. I get it.
Yep. We both know men that have gone through domestic violence before, and that is so awful.
But bro, you're telling a woman how she perceives it.
If you wanted to do this movie right, you get the woman that's been through it and you say, put it through your lens. Give us that perspective. And yes, again, a man can be involved in that because a man can experience that. We're not saying that they can't. But, like, it's just the same narrative. And it's like, and Scooter Braun's brought in and all that stuff. And people are going to be like, oh, Taylor Swift and this sob story. No, that's a real story. It's another thing where a woman is getting put down because of her thoughts and her opinions. And I think what really struck a nerve too towards the end was, like, Blake Lively has had people that have worked with her and they don't like, you know, she's a little abrasive. She's a little sarcastic. She's a little this, she's a little that. Which, I mean, you're married to Ryan Reynolds. I'd be more shocked if you weren't.
Also, we all have coworkers we don't like.
Yeah. But
that's a thing.
As a woman who has been told in her personal and her professional career, you're a little too abrasive. You're a little too this. You're a little too that. Well, having a male colleague that acts the exact same way, getting paid more, promoted more, he's out there, he's vicious, he knows what he wants, and it pisses me off to no end. Because the woman is always the bitch.
Mm-hmm.
She's the problem.
Yep.
And even if they're like, oh, yeah, he's a bit this, blah, 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 that's not stopping him. Blake Lively was basically canceled over this movie for a while.
Yeah. Her husband had to be on set for her to feel comfortable.
And now that this has come out, I've seen way too many Justin pro people.
Yeah. Still.
Where's your anger that you had towards Blake? Where is that anger when you were like, I don't like what she's doing? You can't read that and not have that same anger. And if you do, you're sexist. You're fully just sexist. It doesn't have to be a lot sexist. You can be a little sexist. It's still sexism. It's still sitting there. Oh, this makes me so incredibly mad. I don't care if you don't like Blake Lively. No woman should go through that. And I will preach that until I'm blue in the goddamn face.
Well, my favorite, not my favorite part, but, like, a part that gets me about this is, like, his team brought up, like, bringing in other people that she's had issues with.
To make her seem like the bitch.
Her and Leighton Meester were fine.
Okay, I'm really bad at actresses' names, so I apologize. Okay, that was what I was going to ask. That's wild. That's wild.
They weren't, like, best friends.
But?
On set, they were fine. They were friendly. They talked in between takes. They hung out on set.
Yeah.
They lived very different lives.
Yep.
Because Leighton came from nothing.
Yep.
At a very young age, was thrown into acting by her mom. Mm-hmm. Blake, on the other hand, like, it's just been a thing for her. Mm-hmm. And she's very good at it.
Yeah.
And it's...
it's a different
hard
dynamic.
To compare them.
Yeah, and you do see that in other shows and things like that. And it's like, it is hard to connect on that kind of level, but you don't have to be best friends to do this kind of stuff. And, like, there's no hard feelings there.
Right.
This is making me so mad.
Yeah. And all of her co-stars from Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants have made a statement saying, we stand with her, like, we know that this isn't something she would just throw out there for publicity, like,
yep,
we've been best friends for 20 years,
like, yep,
this is real,
yep, like, this just makes me so mad. Like, I knew this would make me mad walking into it, but I was not expecting it to make me so mad. And in the year 2024, almost 2025, we're still putting this blame on the woman.
That'll never change.
It will never change, and it sucks. And, like...
but for women to be blaming the woman.
Yep.
That's what drives me fucking insane.
Here, be a girl's girl. And, like, we're saying this as people that talk shit about people. There's a lot of women I don't like out there. I can rattle names off, but if one of those women was in a situation where I saw her in an unsafe position with a man,
I'd step in.
I would step in. When we say be a girl's girl, be a woman for woman, for a woman for women, that doesn't mean you have to like everything they do. That does not mean that they might not be doing things that aren't great in other areas. But in a case like this, this is a man's world, and women need to stick together and have some solidarity and look at yourself in the mirror and go, what if that was your sister? What if that was your daughter?
Yeah.
What if that was your mother? What if that was your best friend?
Yeah. Like, I get it. Like, he's not, like, he's fine until he's proven guilty, but, like,
yep.
She has the receipts.
She has receipts. It doesn't sound like she's the only woman on this said that has had these issues.
Yeah.
Another person coming up to her afterwards and being in solidarity, being like, yeah, I've been there. Shockingly, happens everywhere.
Yeah. But, like, he is 100% innocent until proven guilty, and I get that. And stand by that.
Yep.
But with all the stuff that she has.
Yep.
He's fucking guilty.
He is.
And okay,
allegedly, we're not gonna deal with the legalities. We will say allegedly.
Allegedly.
Allegedly, he's guilty.
I see him as guilty.
Yeah.
In my mind and in my heart.
Yeah.
With everything that she has.
Yeah.
I don't see him coming out of this.
I hope he doesn't. I'll say it. I hope he doesn't. But.
And I will 100 every single time stand with the victim.
Yes.
Until it's proven fake.
Correct. That is like.
No matter who the fuck it is.
That was like. In our very first episode, we were talking about the reason we started this is we came up with this idea when we were watching the Mike Tyson and Jake Paul fight. And we were like, I really want to see Jake Paul and McGregor go at it, and I want McGregor to kick his ass. I still want McGregor to kick his ass.
100%.
But I will fully admit McGregor is a piece of shit in the latest lawsuit that he was found guilty. I don't know if you've heard about this or not.
I mean, he's a piece of shit in a lot of aspects of his life. But
not wrong. Yes. I stand with the victim. And you know what? He was proven guilty. And for all of you saying it's a civil case.
Doesn't fucking matter.
And that she's doing this for money. She was offered a settlement 3 times larger than what she got.
Yep.
With DNA and all this other stuff. And guess what? We could sit here. We've dealt with this stuff. Go ask your girlfriends. Have you ever been assaulted? 9 out of 10 of them will say yes.
Sometimes. Other times they'll say no. Because they're not ready to admit. Right.
Yeah. It's taken me a long time to ever admit it. And I feel like that's why I started crying during this movie when she had the flashbacks. Because I had those flashbacks.
Yes. That got me, and when his sister Alyssa said, I, as a sister, I wish you could do anything, find any possible way to forgive him. Yeah. But as your best friend, if you go back, I will never fucking talk to you again.
And
I've had that conversation.
Yeah. And guess what? I don't talk to her. I don't.
I've had that conversation, like, I've had that said to me by his brother.
Yeah.
So.
I said that to a girl that I thought was going to be my best friend for life. I thought she'd be in my wedding. I thought my kids would call her aunt. And I said, if you go back, I can't watch this. I can't pick you up off the ground. Every single time. But if she called me tomorrow, I'd be there. But I couldn't put myself through it because it was making her, like, she was starting to take what he was doing to her out on other people.
Yeah.
And And I know she has people in her life that are there for her. So, like, that's.
And more equipped to handle it.
And are more equipped to handle it and have handled it. I had to step away. I wish her nothing but the best in life. And if she was to call me tomorrow and say, he did it again, come pick me up, I would drive to be there.
Yeah.
But those conversations are hard. And if you have someone that has said that to you and you don't believe it, just think about it. Like, you're in a shitty situation. But you don't want to believe that you're in a shitty situation, you're probably in a shitty situation.
Yeah, 100%. There There was a lot of times where I would be like, you know, maybe this isn't good. And then I'd be like, well, fuck. What if I had a kid with this guy?
Yeah.
And then it was the, what if it was my son doing this to somebody? Or what if it was somebody doing this to my daughter? Like,
yeah.
How would I handle that?
How would you handle that? Yeah. When, for mine, like I said, I was like 16, 17. And so, like, I really had no tools. I didn't know what to do. I felt so trapped. And, like, I had a mutual guy friend of ours. And I finally just called him sobbing one night. I was like, I don't even know what to do. And he said, you need out. And he said, I will find your out for you. And he did. And how we did it, he made me look like the biggest bitch in the world. That I had cheated on this guy. Said, you just need to leave her and make her feel sorry for it. And he left me alone after that. And I had never felt such relief in my life. And I don't talk to this guy friend anymore. But I hope he knows that I think of him often for getting me out of there. But like, this shit sucks.
It's a lot.
It's a lot. And for like a movie that is supposed and was such a good message and did make people leave and did make people come to this realization, for it to be turned into this makes me
angry.
And
like, nobody should have to be put through trying to portray this in a movie while also being put through it.
Right. I guess.
And it's not, obviously, it's not domestic violence, but like.
Right. It's harassment.
And it's fucking horrible to deal with.
Yes. I guess the only thing that I will say is I hope that people can look at this and I hope they can realize if they are in this situation at work, because this happens in America, in corporate life, in all kinds of jobs, that passing remark that your coworker made, it's not okay. And right. You don't have to act like it's okay.
And if it makes you uncomfortable, that is okay. It's okay that you feel uncomfortable because you probably should.
Right.
And if you feel uncomfortable, you should say something.
Your gut is a powerful tool.
Yes.
Listen to it. I am very lucky now that where I work, like, I am the only female on my team, and the guys I work with are fantastic. I don't feel any sort of way when I go on customer visits or just on team building stuff. But my first meeting with HR for onboarding, she brought me into a private room and she looked at me and she said, are they treating you right? You're the only woman. Is there anything you need to tell me? They made sure that base was covered and that I felt okay. And I got to say, yeah, I feel totally safe with everyone that I work with.
And I've never heard you, like, you normally call me with shit like that.
Yeah.
And you've never once.
Nope.
Hey, this guy made me feel this way. Like.
Yeah.
Should I take it seriously?
Yeah.
You've never done that there.
Yeah. It's awesome. And that should be the standard. And that should be your bare minimum.
Yes.
So if it's not, find a new place.
Reevaluate.
Go to HR. Go to higher up. You're not crazy. You are not crazy.
The last thing that I have to say mm-hmm. is, especially at work, if something like this is happening, be Blake Lively. Document everything.
Yep. Get
every single out. Situation. Date, time, what was exactly said, what exactly happened.
Yep.
Turn it into HR. Keep a copy for yourself.
Yep.
Document fucking everything.
If it's a specific person, don't be alone with that person. If you even have to have a meeting for your job, pull someone else in. Do it over Zoom. Put the recording on. Protect yourself, because we are not in a world that's here to protect you, which is awful. Protect yourself. Be Blake Lively. Speak out. And if you need, reach out.
Yeah. Well, seriously, reach
seriously.
Out. We've both been through a lot of shit.
Yeah. And we're here. We've been through a lot. We've seen a lot. Message us. DM us. We're
Email,
here.
Anything.
Email. Yeah. We are here. Don't be afraid.
We don't judge.
Not even a little. We might sound judgy. And sometimes we are. But not about this.
But not about this.
Not about this.
This is the one thing that we both take very seriously.
Incredibly, incredibly seriously. So, this is a little bit more serious of an episode. But an episode that needs to be done.
Yes. Our next one will be lighter.
Our next one is going to be a little bit lighter, a little bit more fun. If this made you feel some kind of way, if you're feeling triggered, reach out to your loved ones. Don't hesitate. Get your resources out. Again, DM us if you need to. We're here.
Yes. Okay.
Well, that's what we have.
On that note. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.
No.
Even though we're not big Christmas fans on this podcast, we wish you a very Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, anything you're celebrating. And if you aren't, I hope you just have a great day.
Yeah. Go spend some time with your family.
Yeah. And if your family sucks, go spend time with your friends. And if your friends suck, get a bottle of wine and a book and have the best self-care day for you.
Take a nice bath.
Oh, a good shower.
Yeah.
An everything shower. Ugh.
Ugh, no.
You don't find them relaxing?
No, I find them stressful.
All right, so our next topic next week. Noting this down, because I have questions, but we don't have time tonight. So have a great night. I hope you enjoyed. Happy New Year if we don't hear from you till then. But thank you all for tuning in. Please like, follow, subscribe. Check us out on TikTok, Instagram. Email us your ideas. Am I missing anything?
No. Awesome. Until next time.
Until next time.
Cheers, guys.